Hi there, this is Tracy. Has anyone ever asked you why did you stay in the relationship? If you're like me, I didn't know that I was in a domestic abuse relationship until the grand finales with my narcs. So I didn't get that all along. Now that I know, people find the story unbelievable and full of drama. But I didn't get that question. Why did you stay? Did you know that when someone asks that question, they're actually switching the blame from the victim to the perpetrator? Why isn't the question asked, why didn't they stop abusing us? Victims don't ever have it easy. They have to face shame and fear and anxiety and fighting to understand, fear of the unknown and all the rebuilding that's ahead. This is all while the narc feels nothing of pain or loss. In fact, he's already moved on. Later, you may think he took this time to plot all the evil things that were in store for you. But I hate to say this. The shit he pulls later doesn't need any planning because it's been planned from the beginning. I like to think that with my two ex, the 10 years we were married actually were real, but now I know better. Whether you are a target of narcissist abuse or some other form of physical, emotional, sexual, financial abuse, the question may be asked of you. It's important to understand that there are many barriers that keep us from leaving. There are actually almost 20 reasons, according to the Safe House for Progressive Alliance for Nonviolence. And I'm going to go over them now. Number one, there's an increased risk of danger. Fears that the partner will follow them, hurt them, or even kill them if they leave. Number two, an economic dependency. How will you survive? How will you feed your family, yourself? Number three. Parenting. Sometimes you feel like you can't do it all alone, or maybe he tells you that you can't do it. Number four, religion, extended family, try to keep the family together. Number five, fear of being alone. It's scary no matter what your age is. Number six, pity. The partner convinces them that you're supposed to feel sorry for them, and it works. Number seven, fear that the partner may commit suicide. Number eight, denial and the minimization, believing that it's not that bad or other people have it worse. Number nine, love. Often their partner is loving and sweet when they're not abusing you. It's really hard to understand the abusive part and you think they're gonna get better, but they never do. Number 10, duty. A feeling that you're bound by marriage or a relationship commitment, like you stood up there and you swore till death do you part, and you're going to do it, by golly. By golly, what does that mean? All right, it's late. Number 11, guilt. Problems are all your fault, my fault, the victim's fault, not the perpetrator, because that's what they made us think. Number 12, responsibility. It's up to you to save this. Number 13, it's a big one, shame. Shame and humiliation. You know, you don't want anyone else to know, and the stigma of being abused or battered or having to explain yourself is really hard. Number 14, isolation. The abuser has isolated the victim from their family and their friends that may support them. Number 15, security. The fear of being alone and the belief in the fairy tale. What did Disney do to us? I love Disney, just kidding. Number 16, identity. We are socialized to think that we need a partner, even if it's an abusive one, in order to be complete. Number 17, unfounded optimism. I'm good at that. Believe that things will always get better despite all the evidence to the contrary. Number 18, the internalization. You internalize the abuser's beliefs and you believe that you deserve this kind of treatment and you don't deserve a better partner, that there's nothing wrong with this one. Now, number 19 is a big one. You begin to expect failure and a lack of support from others. All the people that you've tried to get help from, maybe it's even the police or your family, and you're faced with dead ends, so you get defeated and you stop thinking that you'll ever get out. With no support, you become alone and isolated. And that is why you stay. I just want to add that I am not a doctor and I am not a therapist. I am a surviving person that has had a lifetime of abuse, apparently, with narcissists. And I'm learning so much and I'm really grateful for the community. I'm really grateful for the people that are watching my videos because in a way it's very therapeutic to me, and I am learning at sort of a lightning speed here, and I want to share because I am so amazed that I didn't know this for most of my life. And so if I can make one video touch one person and have them relate to my stories, then they will be better off, just like I became better off when I found the world of YouTube and the narcissist support help, the lifelines that are out there for us. So I just want to say, I know there could be men and women that are narcissists, and they don't have to be your partners. I am speaking from my personal experience. So mine are my mother and my two exes. And so I acknowledge that there are so many other people that are affected by narcissists in a less intimate way. And I do know that society doesn't really get it. I do know that people have a hard time accepting and understanding this. So in people telling their stories, it gives us hope. It gives us strength. And together, our stories are going to maybe stop one more person. Or maybe they'll watch this stuff earlier than I did. Maybe they'll be able to get out of a relationship and understand more before they get hurt and before anything else happens. Narcissists are very dangerous. They don't have any empathy, no conscience, and they're poison. They're poison. And I want to help as many people as I can to stay away from these people. And that's all I got.